You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, I'd say happy Saturday, but everything's terrible. This is Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampado, as always, host of this show. Glad to be here with you, not glad to be here with you to talk about what we've got to talk about today. If you are new here, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for finding this show and giving it a listen. And thank you to all of you for making Locked On Kings your first listen of the day, every day, on your favorite podcast app of choice. We are, of course, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. If you don't know me, I've been around for a while. I've been covering hockey for quite some time, looking in on the Kings since about 2016 or so. And previously, you could find me over at Jewels from the Crown. Now I'm occasionally writing some words over at Hockey Royalty and mostly just yelling on Twitter and on this podcast about the Kings. On today's show, we're going to take a look at last night's overtime loss to the Stars, but more importantly, we'll look at the injury to Drew Doughty and what that's going to mean for the Kings. We're also going to take a quick look at the St. Louis Blues because we've got the first of two games against them coming up tonight on the road in St. Louis. We're going to hear from Thomas Welch of Locked On Blues all about some things that we might need to care about in this upcoming game. But first, let's just get the bad news out of the way. In the second period of last night's game, if you somehow missed it, if you were busy enjoying your life and not watching the Kings, well, you missed that Drew Doughty left the game with a what is being called a lower body injury, but what is clearly some sort of knee injury after getting hit by Yanni Hakanpää, who used to be on the Ducks. So, you know, let's just say he hit Drew Doughty because, you know, rivalry. Anyway, he's on the Stars now, and he hit Doughty in a play that player safety is apparently not going to examine, but it was kind of knee-on-knee, leg-on-leg contact that sent Doughty kind of hurling to the ground and in obvious pain. And if you have watched the Kings for any amount of time, if you have watched Drew Doughty for any amount of time, you know that for as much as I hate, you know, the whole glorifying playing through injury, blah, blah, blah stuff, Doughty has been very durable throughout his career. He has missed very few games due to injuries. He is absolutely a guy who's going to play through stuff he probably shouldn't be playing through, which, again, that's not a good thing. That's not something we should be encouraging. But it also means that when that guy is down on the ice in pain, can't get back up without help, needs help to get off the ice, you know something's wrong. He's not a guy who, especially today, Drew Doughty. I could see maybe like younger Drew Doughty trying to milk something for all it's worth. But I do think, for as much as I have criticized him in the past, he has absolutely matured as a player. And yeah, if he is down on the ice like that, very clearly in pain, this isn't something that he's just making up for funsies to try to get out of, you know, whatever. So that's that, first off. But so the contact really was leg on leg, knee on knee. The view from player safety that we're hearing is that Hakanpää didn't extend his knee in any way and kept his leg and knee at the same position throughout the hit. You can agree or disagree with that. I will admit I have not watched the clip on like Kennedy assassination slow-mo levels of replay. It didn't seem to me to be a play. It's not a good play, obviously. Resulted in someone's injury. It's a dangerous play in general to hit someone like that, but if that is the standard for player safety, then I think I'd probably agree with that. But regardless, a very unfortunate hit, an unfortunate incident. Hakanpää was assessed a 5-minute major and a game misconduct, so he was out of the game. The Kings got a 5-minute power play, which we'll talk about kind of in the next segment. But at the end of the day, again, no matter if you like Drew Doughty or if you have been a frequent critic of his, it's impossible to overstate how important he is to this team. Not even just in the fact that he routinely plays, you know, 25, 26, 28 minutes a night, but just that veteran experience. And also, it's going to now make all of our defensemen have to play up in positions that they're really not best suited for. Guys like Sean Walker and Matt Roy, they can play up for a little bit if needed. I would be okay with, you know, top pairing defenseman Matt Roy for a hot minute. But if this is going to be something extended, which again, the Kings have not released any specific details other than lower body injury, but let's be real, it didn't look good. First pairing defenseman Matt Roy, first pairing defenseman Sean Walker, okay, we can deal with it for a little bit, but not too long. Austin Strand has been called up from the rain. He had a really good performance in last night's rain victory over Bakersfield, scored his first goal of the season right off the faceoff. Just overall, except for like one really stupid cross-checking penalty that he took, which I think both leagues are really cracking down on cross-checking, so I think it's something that we're just going to have to kind of deal with players getting penalized for that until they all sort of figure out what the new standard is. But regardless, he's been called back up to the NHL. I'm glad to see him get another shot here, but I sure wish it was under better circumstances. As we learn more about this Doughty injury, we'll continue talking about it and see what it means for the team, see how our blue line is going to shake out, but there's no way around it. This is terrible for the Kings. If he is going to miss any amount of time, more than just a handful of games, this is just bad because he is crucial to this team's success. One of the big things we've always talked about when we look at the draft and we look at prospects is until Brandt Clark was drafted this year, we don't have anyone else in the system who can kind of step into or be groomed for that Drew Doughty top pairing role. Brandt Clark is the hope for the future, but obviously not here right now. He's up in Barrie doing teenager stuff, but it's going to push players out of position. It is going to make players play minutes that they are not used to playing. And sure, sometimes you'll see heroics. I think there was that one game the last time the Kings made the playoffs where Alec Martinez essentially had to step up into the Drew Doughty role and played like 8 bajillion minutes. I think it was him. Actually, yeah, I just went back and looked at the stats for that game because it was going to kill me until I remembered. It was the 2-overtime game against Vegas. The only goal was scored by Paul Ledoux with assists from Dion Phaneuf and Mike Amadio. Remember those days? Anyway, Alec Martinez played 44 minutes, basically 45 minutes of time in that double overtime game. Oscar Fantenberg, remember him, played second amount of minutes in that game. Anshu Kopitar played 39 minutes. Like, anyway, we have seen guys step up before in the absence of Drew Doughty for whatever reason that he is out, and people can do it in the short term. What I'm concerned about is this becoming something that drags on for, you know, several weeks, not just a couple of games, and then the Kings have to sort of look down the barrel of, do we just throw our hands up and say, well, whatever happens, happens? Do we try to bring someone in depending on how long Doughty's going to be out? Do we just roll with the punches? There's going to be decisions that are going to have to be made, and the fact that this is happening in the fourth game of the season is not so great. So we will, of course, continue to keep an eye on what is going on with this situation, and of course any updates that we learn about Drew Doughty's condition and what any sort of expected prognosis is for him. But losing Byfield in the preseason hurts. We were all really looking forward to seeing him. We thought we knew what the bottom six was going to look like with Byfield jumping up into the NHL. That hurts. Losing Drew Doughty now, when the team is still kind of in those formative stages of what's our identity, what kind of team do we want to be, is brutal. So this sucks, and I think we should all just go eat cookies today and not think about it. We're going to look at the rest of the game coming up in the next part of the show. Before we get into that, though, this show is brought to you by rockauto.com. There is always just a massive number of makes and models of cars. There are basically infinite amounts of car parts available to you, and going to your local auto parts store is really frustrating because they're almost never going to keep in stock all the things that you need. And half of the time, if you do go to the store and they don't have it in stock, all they're going to do is order it from the internet, which is a thing that you can do at home by yourself. You don't even have to put on pants. Instead, you can go to rockauto.com and save time, save money, and be sure to get what it is that you're looking for. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that you could get at a chain store or a car dealership when you can shop online? Prices at Rock Auto are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could ever possibly need. So go to their website, explore the easy-to-use search functions to find all of the auto parts that you need. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Okay, so in addition to the badness of losing Drew Doughty in the game, the Kings also lost the game in general, but they didn't just lose it in, you know, normal fashion. No, they lost it despite outshooting the Stars basically 2-1. Kings had 45 shots, Stars had 22 shots, and overall, basically, again, every statistical category, the Kings outperformed the Stars. Kings got on the board first. Andrei Kopitar scored his, like, what, billionth goal of the season? Sixth, eighth, tenth, whatever it is. He scored again, which is great, because Andrei Kopitar is great, and we love him. But a couple different things killed the Kings in this one. First off, penalties. I feel like I jinxed this one because I just got done in the last show saying about how I've been glad to see the Kings not doing what they have previously done, especially in early seasons, which is the parade to the penalty box, and have overall been a little more disciplined than usual, even despite the sort of cracking down on cross-checking and everything. We just haven't seen that parade of even more like useless penalties of too many men or, you know, stick infractions that is just because someone was too slow to catch up with someone. So overall, like, that's been doing pretty well. The power play has been okay, not great, but okay. But the Kings haven't really been putting themselves at the disadvantage too much. Not so hot. Really either special teams, because the Kings certainly had their chances on the power play, including that five-minute major, again, that was assessed to Yanni Hakanpää for the hit on Drew Doughty. The Kings were able to control the puck for most of the time, didn't really have too many really dangerous scoring chances. Gabe Vilardi did score, and we'll talk about him in a minute. Really, for a five-minute power play to not feel like they were convincingly dangerous. It's not great. It's not great because that is how you make a team pay. You know, that is how you respond. I don't know that I didn't need anyone to like punch Hakanpää's face in, especially because it wasn't malicious. He wasn't intentionally going to try to like destroy Doughty's ACL or something. It was just a hit that went wrong. And I get it. But I don't think that like punching him in the face is the right response. I think that scoring a bunch of goals on your major is the response, and the Kings didn't do that. The power play time extended into the third period. The Kings, it seemed like they forgot they were on the power play because they did not like look very jointed. That's not really the opposite of disjointed, but you know what I mean. They just didn't really look very together when the third period started. And then the whole tide of the game changed in that third period because the Stars, who up to that point had like 10 shots or something, essentially, just poured on the pressure. It didn't result in a whole lot more shots, but it resulted in a lot more quality shots and a lot more possession time. So the Kings still outshot them in that period, but they weren't really great shots. There weren't too many times where I was like, oh wow, like that really should have gone in. And as the third period ticked down, all the Kings really had to do was get to overtime. That's all. Like, just get to overtime. Which, I mean, they did. Like, spoilers, if you didn't watch the game, the Kings do get to overtime in this one. But they could have had this wrapped up. And instead, about halfway through the third, Miro Heiskanen scored for the Stars on the power play. And tied the game up, and then, of course, sent it to overtime. That power play came at the tail end of a 5-on-3, where both Sean Walker and Matt Roy ended up in the penalty box for different infractions. One of them was a, like, delay of game puck over glass thing, which is still a BS penalty, but whatever. But those guys, Walker and Roy, took three penalties total in the third period, including that 5-on-3, which was a significantly long 5-on-3. It wasn't just one of those brief overlap things. And when you're down your top defenseman and your next two most experienced defensemen keep taking a parade to the penalty box, like, that's bad. That is not a recipe for success. So you could feel that Heiskanen goal coming as soon as the parade to the box started. It was inevitable. As soon as that period started off and the Kings couldn't really get any momentum at the beginning of the period with that power play and the Stars just sort of took over, you felt it coming. And I wasn't surprised. It sucked, but I'm not surprised. It was a great shot from Heiskanen. And so the Kings go to overtime, and I will admit that it was a really exciting overtime. Had the Kings won, I would be sitting here spending 15 minutes talking to you about how fun this overtime is and how much, like, joy 3-on-3 overtime gives me in hockey. And instead, I have to sit here and talk about, like, yeah, it was super fun, and they lost anyway. They were trading chances back and forth. I feel like both teams had some pretty good looks. There were obviously a bunch of near misses for the Kings, a lot of things that, like, you know, you're sitting there going, like, ah, how didn't that go in? But ultimately, at the end of the day, Denis Gurianov wins it in overtime, races down, and it's a great shot from him. It's a little bit deceptive because he pulls the puck to his backhand, and Quick really didn't look like he was anticipating that change. So the puck goes in over Quick's shoulder, end of game. And, like, it was near the end of overtime, 4:15. So they just had, like, what, 45 more seconds to kill, and then they could have gotten to the shootout. And we all know Jonathan Quick hates shootouts. Like, that's the ongoing running joke with this team. But, like, I don't know, maybe we would have had a better shot in the shootout. I don't know what Braden Holtby's shootout record is. Who knows? Anything could have happened. But they were so close, and then that last play just got out of control, shot at an angle that Quick couldn't anticipate. No one really there to stop him. Just not great. So Kings dropped this one in overtime. Before we take a look at the Stars, I did want to go back 1 minute to Gabe Vilardi, because he scored on the power play off of a great pass from Arthur Kaliev. This was part of the 5-minute major. Again, if you haven't realized this by now, if you have somehow missed me talking about Arthur Kaliev at any point in time, what you need to know about Arthur Kaliev is he isn't just a scorer. He isn't just a put the puck in the back of the net guy. His vision for passing, his skill at getting the puck from him to his teammate is fantastic. I have seen him make plays that I was like, how did you do that? When I first saw him play in person at the World Junior Summer Showcase right after he was drafted, that was the thing that I took home most, was not his scoring prowess, not his defensive abilities for good or bad. It was the fact that he was setting up plays that I was like, I don't know that anyone else on the ice would have had this vision to get done. So the pass from Kaliev, great cross-ice pass to Vilardi, who put the puck in, and Vilardi was just super pumped up. And I hope, if anything, out of this game, Drew Doughty injury aside from any other issues this team is having, I hope that this might start to get Gabe Vilardi on a roll, start to get him a little pumped up and going into these next games with confidence. He really seems to me like a guy who needs to play feeling like he's confident. And he had that in the preseason when he was with Vladimir Kachev and Elias Anderson. And then Anderson went out with his injury, and now everything has seemed kind of like a big question mark for Vilardi. So I was really glad to see him get on the board, his first goal, first point of the season, I think. And hopefully he can keep that going and start providing some of the secondary scoring that we need to see from this team. That's all I've got to say on this game. We will, like I said, continue looking at the Drew Doughty injury and how that's going to reshape the Kings in the near future while we wait to find out exactly what happened to him. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the St. Louis Blues because we got to play them tonight. Before we do that, though, betonline.ag is back and they are better than ever. They've got a new web interface all ready for you for the start of basketball season where you can find more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, of course, remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Plus, you can find baseball, the NHL, obviously, boxing, UFC, casino games, any sport you can imagine you can find on BetOnline. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, where the game starts. So life does go on for a professional hockey team that has to continue playing games despite an injury to their best defenseman. And life continues for us. Tonight we take on the St. Louis Blues in the first of a back-to-back scenario. Tonight's game kicks off at 5 p.m. Pacific, and then we play again on Monday, also at 5 p.m. Pacific, both games obviously in St. Louis. The Blues are 3-0 on the season. They are one of the few remaining undefeated teams, and for as disjointed as they've looked in past seasons, this year they actually look convincing, which also, again, I hate. The Blues, in their three games so far, they have matched up against the Avalanche, the Coyotes, and Vegas. All three of those teams, I think, struggling maybe a little more. Well, the Coyotes, everyone expected to struggle. But Vegas and Colorado, teams that everyone expected to be at the top of the pile, both teams are kind of struggling so far. Vegas only scored one goal against St. Louis. Colorado got three. In those three games, the Blues have 15 total goals. That's a lot of goals. So the Blues right now are actually looking like a legit team, a legit threat. And we're going to hear really quickly now from Thomas Welch, host of Locked On Blues, who's going to share with us a couple of his thoughts going into this game.
What is up, Kings fans? This is Thomas Welch, host of the Locked On Blues podcast. I just wanted to give you guys a couple narratives that surrounding our teams, give you a better idea of what to expect and what to look for come Saturday when the Blues face off against the Los Angeles Kings. So the first one and the big one for me is Jordan Kyrou looks like a superstar in the making. And it's really exciting for Blues fans because he plays a style of hockey that we're not accustomed to. The Blues typically play dumping in, grind it out style of offense that revolves around cycling pucks. And when Jordan Kyrou is out here dangling guys and scoring highlight reel goals on a 4-point night against the Arizona Coyotes, even if it's the Arizona Coyotes, it gives you a little bit of spark in your stomach that this might be the next coming of the next superstar in the league. So looking for that, looking for Vladimir Tarasenko, whether or not he can increase his trade value, but also whether he can be a viable asset to this team. Against the Vegas Golden Knights, I think Vladimir Tarasenko was by far the best player on the ice, and I think that's the first time I've said that in probably the last 4 years. So that will be something to look forward to as well as the emphatic and always controversial Jordan Binnington, because he is off to a red-hot start. I believe he's one of the main reasons that we beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Robin Leonard was playing out of his mind, and Jordan Binnington matched his energy. If he can sustain this run like he did in 2019, we could very well be putting ourselves in a Stanley Cup position with the depth that this team has. So I hope that provides a little bit of insight and gives you some things to look for against the St. Louis Blues. Thanks.
All right. Thanks to Thomas for stopping by. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to him more in depth later on in the season once our teams meet up again. But for right now, that's the quick and dirty of it for the St. Louis Blues. The Tarasenko angle, I think, is fascinating because all off season, all we heard was how much he wants out, how much he wants a trade. He's going to refuse to play for the Blues because he, if you missed it, feels like they mishandled his shoulder injury situation, that he didn't get the proper medical care that he needed, and that it's, you know, kind of put everything in jeopardy for him. Obviously, everyone expected him to be traded over the off season. I expected him to not show up to training camp to try to force his hand in a trade. But instead, he has not only shown up, but he has been, at times, one of the best players on the ice for the Blues, which is great for the Blues if they are still looking to trade him. Because, as we're seeing a little bit with the Jack Eichel situation, an injured player, no one wants him, or no one wants him for the price that the team wants for him. And the Blues, obviously, are not going to give up Tarasenko in exchange for, like, Blake Lizotte. Like, that's not going to happen. So really the best thing to happen for Tarasenko, if he wants to get out of St. Louis, is to play really, really well. He has a goal and an assist through those three games. He's always been good against the Kings, so I'm going to be very curious to see what happens with him. I forgot that Brandon Saad was on this team. I mean, I knew, and I think I tried to forget because it made me sad, but I opened up the Blues website and he's right there. Anyway, the Blues are, as Thomas mentioned, led right now in scoring by Jordan Kyrou. He's got 7 points through three games and is looking legit. He is a guy who he's taken a little bit of a longer path to finally get a regular spot in the NHL. He's been around for a little while, drafted in 2016 out of the OHL, and then spent his first two seasons splitting time between the NHL and AHL, finally became an NHL regular last season with 35 points in 55 games. So he is someone that is getting better with every season in the league, and right now is on fire for the Blues. So he is absolutely a player to look out for, absolutely a player you want to try to stop. The Blues, even injecting more skill, more creativity into their roster, they still are that same kind of grinded out, physical, annoying team to play against. They still have guys like David Perron on their roster. We all know how much David Perron and Jonathan Quick hate each other. It's always been a highlight, really, of these games for me, because they always inevitably end up in some sort of shoving match. Perron is third on the team in points right now. He has 2 goals, 1 assist. And while the Blues are going to be facing Cal Peterson tonight, thanks to the back-to-back and the goalie rotation, on Monday we'll get to see, most likely, the Perron versus Quick matchup. I think that this is going to be a tough test for the Kings. I think the Blues are, like I said, they are a good team. They are a strong team. I hate to say it, but they are. And Jordan Binnington, again, as irritating as he is as a goalie, he looks to be kind of back in that same form that helped carry the Blues to the Stanley Cup. So that could be very dangerous as well. So for the players on the Kings who are not used to being physical, for the players who kind of shy away from contact, well, this is their moment to figure it out. It'll be interesting to see what lineup decisions they make. I know that they put Arthur Kaliev back in for the game against the Stars because they wanted someone with a little bit more size. Vladimir Kachev is not particularly a big player, not necessarily a physical guy. Kaliev is at least a big boy. I wouldn't say that he is particularly known for throwing hits or anything, but he, at least if you're looking for size, is that guy. Also, keep an eye on what happens with the blue line for the Kings, because the expectation was at the beginning of the season that Alex Edler was going to kind of rotate out on some of these back-to-backs. He is older, quote-unquote, for a hockey player, and the miles are showing in terms of his speed. I still am impressed with his sort of overall defensive awareness, hockey IQ, whatever, but the speed is just not there anymore, and I think everyone knew that going in. But so the plan was really to not have him play all of these games, but with Doughty out, Olimata kind of a question mark, Austin Strand making his way up to the team after playing last night in Ontario. It feels like Edler's going to be pressed into service into this game. So that one we're going to have to wait and see at the puck drop. But the Kings have a lot of issues to figure out, a lot of lineup changes they could make. The game against the Stars, again, like, they did well statistically. They controlled the puck. They outshot them. They got all of the better high-danger chances and everything, and they just couldn't convert. So, you know, here's another chance for Cal Peterson to come in, steal the show, help solidify himself as the number one, and for the Kings to continue to work on playing that game that made them so successful in the game against Vegas. So I am not excited about this game. It's probably going to suck. But, you know, the Kings have to march on without Doughty, and this is the first game of that. This is the first game of the, well, we don't know what's up with him era, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond. Last night's game against the Stars got increasingly, you know, emotional, volatile as the game went on, and are they able to put that behind them going into this game and just play the game in front of them and not focus on the injury to Doughty and everything that happened last night. So not a great situation for the Kings, and probably one of the worst teams that they could be coming into after losing a guy like Doughty, but stranger things have happened. Maybe they'll pull it together. On Monday, we will be back on the show checking in on what happened on this game and seeing if anything else has changed in prep for the second game of this back-to-back-ish series. And then, of course, you know, whatever happens with Doughty, we will be talking about that and seeing how it's going to impact the team here. So that's it for today. Have fun watching the Kings game. Again, that is tonight at 5 p.m. Pacific. It'll be on your local Bally Sports West channel. Or if you are like the rest of us, it'll be streaming on, you know, ESPN Plus and everything. So thank you so much for listening. Go light your Drew Doughty prayer candle or whatever, and we'll go from there. Make sure you come back on Monday for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings. And you can find the show on Twitter as well, at Locked On LA Kings. I occasionally tweet out my thoughts and feelings during games. And you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah, where I occasionally tweet out thoughts and feelings on other things. And come say hi, give me a follow, make sure you're subscribed to the show. And we'll see you on Monday here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.